through 28. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent night and day at open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers and dangers from bandits and dangers from Jews and dangers from Gentiles and danger from the city and danger in the country and danger at sea and in danger from false believers. I've also labored and toiled. I have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Crystal. So when we think about being thankful, our mind tends to go to all the blessings, right? What we consider blessings. Family, health, food, steady paychecks, the times in our lives when, you know, things are quiet and there's just not a lot of pandemonium and chaos. But this series is called Thankful for What? And we're inviting ourselves to look again at the things that we don't feel are blessings to us, the broken pieces, the painful seasons, the hard roads, the things that make us say, really, Lord, you expect me to be thankful for that. And Paul gives us a window into that kind of gratitude in this passage that Crystal just read. So Paul was writing to a church that thought strength and success were the marks of true discipleship. But Paul says, let me tell you what serving Christ really looks like. And he lists the litany of sufferings that he endured while on mission, the beatings, the hunger, the fatigue, the exhaustion, the danger, the heartbreak. And let's be honest, we would much prefer to hear testimonies of victories than ones that are a series of unfortunate events. But Paul here is flipping the script on us. He's showing us that the mark of authentic faith is not the absence of pain. It is being able to persevere through it. And that's where Thanksgiving begins. It's not what we feel, it is what we know. No one wants to suffer, and Paul is no exception. He didn't want to suffer either, but he found something sacred in every hardship he experienced. He discovered that God's grace was sufficient, which he wrote about in the next chapter, and we're going to cover that next week when we talk about the thorn in his flesh. But when life falls apart, gratitude is not usually our first instinct. It's usually to grumble and complain. But here's what happens when we choose gratitude in the midst of pain anyway. Gratitude turns pain into purpose. It helps us to see what God may be doing in the dark. Gratitude shifts our focus from what we've lost to what cannot be taken away from us. So for Paul, he lost his comfort, his safety, his freedom, but he never lost Christ. And gratitude breaks the power of bitterness. You can't very well be bitter and thankful at the same time. You may not be thankful for the pain, but you can be thankful in the pain because God is working something beautiful beneath the surface. At the end of Paul's list of hardships, he says, besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Which is interesting because of all the things he endured, and these were just terrible, very harsh things that Paul had to endure, right? The shipwrecks, the imprisonment, the beatings. And yet he says his greatest burden was his love for people. That it hurt him most to see others struggling in their faith. So you see, there's a paradox here, and that is suffering can actually make us compassionate. It softens our hearts. It helps us to see what matters most in life. Our relationships, our faith, love. Sometimes we don't know what we truly value until life strips away what doesn't matter. And when that happens, even pain can become a strange kind of gift. So a few things that will help us kind of develop this culture of gratitude and learn to be thankful even in the hard things. One, remember God's presence. You are never alone in your hardship, though I understand sometimes it feels that way. But Paul never endured a single night adrift at sea without Christ by his side. He knew that. A woman once shared that during her husband's deployment, nights were hard. They were lonely. They were riddled with anxiety and worry over her husband's safety. Would he return back to her? And it would have been really easy for her to get swept up in the grumbling and complaining. How awful war is, that it took her husband away from her. But instead, she resolved to keep a chair at her kitchen table where she placed her Bible. And when she sat down to dinner, she would talk out loud to God. And it reminded her that she wasn't eating alone, that Christ's presence sustained her at that table. And months later, when her husband returned, she said, "Those nights were hard, but I am thankful. Because those nights brought me closer to God than ever before, and I realized I was never really alone." And in the same way, Paul's thankful even when floating in open water, because he knew the presence of Christ was his anchor. Gratitude grows when we realize that God doesn't promise to keep us from the storms. He promises to be there with us in them. David once said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So that might be a good passage to keep in your back pocket when you are going through those valleys, because remembering that God walks with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death, can help us turn our weariness into gratitude. Second thing is to redefine what blessing means. Now think about the Beatitudes. I'm going to read them. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, some of that makes sense to us, yes? Like the part where we hear, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are peacemakers." We get that. What we don't get is, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are slandered. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. In some translation, it's written, happy are those. Happy are those who mourn. But Jesus is showing us that when we live for the kingdom, this is what life looks like. It's not what we want it to look like, right? It's not a straight path. It's not a smooth path. It's not paved in all that glimmers. If the Beatitudes were written by the world, it would probably sound a little more like this. Blessed are the materialistic, for he who has the most stuff wins. Blessed are the self-sufficient, for they don't need help from anybody. Blessed are the carefree, for they shall be comfortable. Blessed are the powerful and well-connected, for they are unstoppable. Blessed are the successful, for they are invincible. Blessed are those who win, for they will be remembered for their victories. Blessed are those who play it safe, for they will never have to suffer for what they believe. Jesus took our Beatitudes and turned them on their heads and said, not so in the kingdom of God. He shows us that blessings are not about comfort. Blessings are about building character. Sometimes the greatest gift that God gives us is grit. A college athlete tears her ACL during her best season. Everything she works for vanishes overnight. Her record, her fanfare, her scholarship. And she could have wallowed in the grief of losing her athletic career. She could have said, I'm nothing without the game, much like many athletes want to believe. But during rehab, she began mentoring these young athletes who struggled with their identity and worth beyond the game. And years later, she said, that injury felt like the worst thing that could have happened to me, but it helped me to discover who I am without the sport and who I am in Christ. It was the best thing that happened to me. What looked like a loss became a lesson in identity. Blessing isn't always what God gives us. Sometimes it is what he is teaching us and what is taken away. Third thing, reflect on how God uses past pain. Every story, every scar has a story of survival and grace. A man battled addiction for many years, and then when he gave his life to Christ, he embarked on his long road to recovery and eventually started a recovery ministry at his church. And one day someone in his group asked him, "Don't you just wish you could erase that chapter of your life?" And he said, no. He said, if I erased it, I would also be erasing how God rescued me. I wouldn't trade my scars because they remind me of my need for God's grace. Paul's scars told a story of God's deliverance. And gratitude grows when we look back and see that the same God who carried us through then also carries us through now. So think back to where you were 3, 5, 10 years ago and the trials you endured in those periods. Now back then in that moment, you probably thought, how am I ever going to get through this? And here you are, and I bet, dollars to donuts, you have a story where God carried you through that trial, through that season. Paul's story of perseverance isn't just about personal strength. It is actually patterned after the story of Jesus himself, because if anyone understood being thankful in suffering. It was Jesus. On the night before he was crucified, knowing what was coming, he sat down at a table with his friends. And the text tells us that he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke the bread. He gave thanks knowing that before the end of the next day, he would endure beatings beyond recognition, public humiliation, being nailed to a cross, hanging there to die. He wasn't thanking God for the pain itself. He prayed, you know, even before he was arrested, he prayed that God would actually spare him of that pain. But then he said, not my will, Lord, but yours. So you see, he doesn't thank God for the pain. He thanks him for the purpose behind it. He could see beyond the suffering to the salvation it would bring. And that is what real gratitude looks like. Not the denial of pain, but trusting that God can redeem it. And what looks like defeat becomes victory. What looks like the end becomes the beginning. And what looks like loss becomes love's greatest triumph. Paul understood that. Every shipwreck, every prison cell, every tear he cried was filtered through the lens of the cross. He knew that if God could bring resurrection out of crucifixion, then God could bring purpose out of his pain and his hardship. And that's why he said in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In Christ, every trial becomes raw material for redemption. It's easy to thank God when life is smooth sailing. It's another thing entirely to thank him when life hurts. When you have that kind of gratitude, though, that gratitude that costs something, understand that is sacred and it is holy. When you lift your hands in worship through the tears, when you thank God in the middle of uncertainty, when you choose to trust even when you don't understand, that's when your thanksgiving becomes worship. That's what Jesus did at the table. That's what Paul did in chains. That is what we are called to do today. Because in those moments, our faith declares, God, I may not see it yet, but I know that you are good. I may not understand it yet, but I know you are working. And I may not feel it yet, but I know you are faithful. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So our hardship reminds us that this world is not our final home. Hardship reminds us, it pushes us forward toward thankfulness. It helps us to live every day of our lives with that last day in mind. Trusting that glory will outweigh the grind of our current circumstances. Every cross we bear has resurrection on the other side. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And neither will we stay in our grief, our pain, our hardships. Resurrection might not come tomorrow, but it will come. When we are thankful in the hard things, we are proclaiming our confidence that God isn't finished yet. And that's what Paul did. He lived with resurrection hope. He knew that gratitude today is an act of faith in tomorrow's glory. So maybe today, your life may feel like Paul's list. The stress, the storms, the sleepless nights. And you're wondering, thankful for what? And this week I want to challenge you to examine a rough road in your life, an area of hardship and suffering. For you, it might be a severed relationship. It might be news you didn't expect to get. It might be a stack of bills. It might be plans that didn't go the way you hoped. Maybe it's a burden that you're carrying for somebody else. Examine that area of your life and ask what God may be trying to teach you through that. And instead of dwelling on the pain and the brokenness, instead of complaining about what is wrong in life, give thanks. Thankful that even in the hard things, God is shaping you. Thankful that in his weakness, or in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Thankful that every scar, every trial, every tear can become a testimony of his grace. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks, not just for the easy blessings, but for the hard ones that shape us. We thank you for the storms that reveal your strength, the losses that deepen our faith, and the struggles that draw us closer to you. Lord, teach us to be thankful in all things, knowing that you are always at work, redeeming, restoring, and renewing us by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.